Hands in their hundreds to Ludlow come in for the fair. There's men from the barn and the forge and the mill and the fold. The lads for the guns and the lads for the liquor are there. And there in the midst are the lads that will never be old. There's chaps from the town.
We present Nigel Davenport as Peter Sheridan and Isabel Dean as Gwen Sheridan in The Trade of Man by T.D. Webster, with Geoffrey Matthews, John Rowe, and George Pravda. The Trade of Man.
I wish one could know that I wish there were tokens to tell the fortunate fellows that now you can never discern. And then one could talk with them friendly and wish them farewell and watch them depart on the way that they will not return.
Peter won't be long.
Oh, that's all right.
Well, he's only just got back. His train was late. He'll be down in a minute.
I can see him tomorrow. It isn't particularly important.
No, stay and have a chat. Try and cheer him up.
Where's he been?
Up to town. Funeral. I think he's had rather a harrowing day.
Family?
No, someone he was with during the war. Leo Jensen. He hadn't seen him for years, but Peter felt he had to go. He and Leo were very close.
I think I've heard Peter mention him.
Probably. He was a very colourful character. His daughter insisted on giving Peter all Leo's papers. Why, I don't know. Although there are one or two interesting photographs. There. That's Leo in the middle.
Well, Peter's hardly changed. Who's the other one?
That's Mark, my brother. You see what Leo scribbled on the back? Three immortals about to win the war.
When was it taken?
Late 43, I guess. Just before their last drop into France. Leo was the last to see Mark alive. Peter brought him to see my parents after the war. He came with a suitcase full of ration stuff, tea, coffee, things like that. Leo used his SOE training to good effect in the post-war years. His wedding present was a car boot full of whiskey and tinned salmon.
Was he much older than Peter?
2 or 3 years. Poor Leo. He managed to survive Buchenwald, but not a bed sit in Kentish town.
I see what you mean about a harrowing day. Has Peter taken it very badly?
No, Peter. It's difficult to say. Immerse him in festival problems. That'll cheer him up.
And I've got the hall at the Technical College for the Beggar's Opera and the Plough for the Jazz and Poetry.
What about the Cavendish Singers?
They confirmed by phone yesterday.
Did they say exactly what they'll be doing?
Chiefly settings of Harvey and Kipling.
Good. So, that's it, more or less.
On paper, there will doubtless be snags.
Yes. At least we don't have Greek folk dancers to contend with this year.
No, thank God. Lock up your daughters and sons and livestock.
Right, we'd better see about calling a full committee meeting.
Rachel rang me this morning. If we can manage one next week, the commander won't be here. We won't have to explain once more why we aren't doing Songs of the Fleet.
In that case, next week it is. Thursday is our annual wine and cheese bash at the school before the silly season starts, so that's out.
Are you going to be busy?
Oh, non-stop flow from the Middle East this year, plus the usual French and Spanish wars.
It all seems to me that their main interest is far from linguistic. They ought to make their first lesson basic propositioning.
For God's sake, don't mention that to Ian. He'll take it up. Peter Sheridan. Yes, he's here. Here.
Well. David Zions.
Well, here we are.
Yes. Yes. Right, I'll be over there in 5 or 10 minutes. Duty calls, I'm afraid. Only just down the road, but private patients expect one to jump to it.
You're going? I've just made coffee.
My usual impeccable timing. There's time for a quick mouthful.
An elderly hypochondriac awaits. At times like this, I wish I'd stuck to music.
Think of the money, my boy. Think of the money.
Yes, well, on second thought, bye. I'll see myself out. Bye. I'll be in touch about the committee meeting, Peter.
Right.
David always says that.
What?
About sticking to music.
He means it.
We can all play that game. If I'd stayed with the Beans, I'd be running the World Service or something by now. If you'd gone back to Cambridge, you'd be master of somewhere or other and the most brilliant scholar of your generation. We all have our little illusions.
Well, David has far more substantial grounds for his.
Yes, perhaps so. But there are times when he overdoes the cheated by the war bit.
He has a case there, too.
We all do. Oh, Ian rang. Something about Gerhard Luntz. Ian will meet him at the station and see to him. And not to forget we're going over to his place for drinks tomorrow.
Right.
Who is Herr Luntz?
He's coming over from the language school in Munich, where Simon is. Sort of leased land, Ian's idea. Simon is very keen to stay in Munich a little longer. Luntz is supposed to be one of their top men on the technical side. Computers.
Ian's importing ours, is he?
I don't think he needs to. He has enough already.
Enough for a palace coup?
Not until I'm ready.
It's late. I'm going to bed.
I'll be up later.
Aren't you tired? You look shattered.
I am, but I shan't sleep.
Mr. Lambert?
Yes?
No doubt you're waiting for Gerhard.
I am, yes.
And you have me instead. Carl Miller.
Ian Lambert.
Don't look so concerned, Mr. Lambert. Now, have the pubs closed yet?
No. Half two, half an hour to go.
Good. Shall we find one, and I will reveal all.
Yes. Right. Here, let me take your case.
Thank you.
Did you have a good journey?
And so I pulled rank. Pulled rank. Is that still used?
Oh, yes. The people still say it.
Well, as deputy director, that's what I did. Gerhard was very lukewarm about coming over here, whereas I was delighted by the prospect. So I stepped in. I hope your principal will raise no objection.
Oh, I'm sure he won't.
Now, I understand you have a hotel booked for Gerhard.
Yes, we often use it for visitors. You'll find it very comfortable.
I'm sure I shall. But I hate living in hotels. I shall be here for 2 months. I should like to rent a property. Would that be possible, do you think?
Yes, there's a great deal on the market this time of year. My sister-in-law Rachel's in the property business. I'll have a word with her.
Excellent. I'm a man of simple taste. Quiet, unpretentious luxury will do. All moss grass, a well-kept garden, a view of the sea. Oh, and a swimming pool, if possible.
Well, I'll give Rachel a ring tonight. No, you'll be meeting her tomorrow evening. You can have a word with her then. But mind you, a place like that's likely to come rather expensive.
I don't mind that. Money no object. I intend to enjoy my stay. Now allow me to get you a drink. And are you sure it will be no trouble?
Certainly. When would be a convenient time?
Tomorrow lunchtime.
I'll pick you up at the school. Would 12:30 be too early?
No, that would be fine. You know, Rachel, you're the first lady estate agent I've met.
Oh. Sorry to butt in. I thought you'd like to meet as soon as possible. Carl Miller, Gwen Sheridan.
Hello.
And Peter Sheridan.
Hello.
Hello, Peter. I'm delighted to meet you both. Forgive me for resorting to a greatly overworked cliché, but I've heard so much about you.
Was any of it good?
Oh, yes. All of it very complimentary.
Did you have a good journey, Herr Muller?
Carl, please. Splendid, thank you. Up to now, everything has gone so well that it all seems a little unreal. Even the weather has been, well, not too bad. And I find Malcolm all that I had hoped for. Plus the added bonus of a festival.
Oh, wait until you sample it first, Carl.
There speaks an old festival hand.
This year is going to be the best ever.
How is it arranged? Do you have an overall conception?
We tend to pick a theme and build around that.
And what is the theme this year?
The poet and the song.
Oh, that sounds an excellent basis. It is wide opportunities.
Oh, yes. I'll let you have a program.
Be careful, Carl. Rachel's chief function, festival-wise, is to find patrons.
I would be delighted to help.
Speaking of the festival, enter David, the careworn director, with his crisis face.
From now until the middle of June, virtually any gathering in Melscombe turns into a festival committee meeting sooner or later.
Drink, David?
No, thank you. Just a flying visit.
I don't think you've met Carl. Carl Muller, Dr. David Simons.
How do you do?
How do you do? I understand you are the director of festival. It must be very demanding.
Yes, it is. May I drag you away for a minute, Peter?
Yes, of course. Excuse us a moment.
I understand your husband is also a writer, Gwen.
Not in this was. And only one book.
No, but something of a bestseller in its time, wasn't it?
I think it went into 4 or 5 editions.
Very impressive. What was it, a novel?
No, it was autobiographical.
It was chiefly about Peter's wartime experiences.
Ah, I see. One thing I should perhaps make clear at the beginning of my stay, to save future embarrassment. I do not, like others of my generation and my nationality, spend my life pretending the Second World War did not take place. So please, do not regard it as a taboo subject. To be truthful, it interests me.
Peter was in the SOE, the Special Operations Executive.
Ah, cloak and dagger.
Yes.
Where was he?
Northern France, chiefly. That's what the book's about.
What is the title?
The Fortunate Fellows.
I must read it as soon as possible. Ah, the author.
Sorry about that.
I have just been hearing about your book, Peter.
A very old story.
But well worth reading, I'm sure.
It was written on the suggestion of a publisher friend when I was hard up. The proceeds helped me to set up the language school here. It has no great literary merit.
All books are important. If I had written a book, any kind of book, I would carry copies with me and distribute them freely.
You didn't take to him?
Hmm?
Herr Muller. You didn't take to him?
Not particularly.
You usually get on well with Germans.
This one is a little too conscious of his impeccable English.
I thought perhaps Leo's funeral had brought back too many memories.
No, nothing like that.
David wasn't thrilled by Herr Muller either.
They barely met.
Long enough for hackles to rise.
Germans are not David's favourite people. Never will be.
Well, let's hope they keep out of each other's way. Although Herr Muller's probably too thick-skinned to notice. You fit in well here. He has exactly the right kind of smug self-satisfaction, don't you see? He clearly took a fancy to Rachel Thompson. He never left her side, or she his. But of course she has a penchant for father figures.
Do you have a pool?
No, not yet. But under severe pressure, my children are mad on swimming.
You must tell them they can make use of the pool whenever they wish.
I'll bring them over one afternoon. You'd better inspect them first. The boys are a little too young to come over by themselves, but if Sally realizes she's got carte blanche, she'll find the pool permanently occupied by the teenage population of the village.
Oh, no problem. I enjoy having young people around.
Well, you've been warned.
The cabin over there contains the sauna and the jacuzzi.
Oh, every luxury.
Oh, yes. I can say that I've been very fortunate. Not only the cottage. In all things. The work, my colleagues, the town itself. It's all very congenial.
And you've already proved a great help.
Oh, I've done very little. You really have a very good setup here, Ian. I think the potential is greater than you realize.
Not than I realize, Carl.
Oh, I see. There are many suggestions I could make, but I've had very little opportunity to talk to Peter.
Yes, he seems more wrapped up than ever in the festival this year.
That is understandable. I must admit I never realized your principal was is such a famous man. Everybody speaks of him.
I believe he was something of a national hero when the book was published.
Having read of his exploits, I can understand that, but now it seems he finds that sort of fame distasteful.
Well, according to my father, who knew him well, Peter's always hated the limelight. I think it was one of the reasons he came down here.
He carries the years lightly, but not the burden of being a hero.
Yes, it's very true. Yeah,
I wish he was less reticent. From a publicity angle, we could make far greater use of his war record. He won't even allow us to mention his decorations in the prospectus. OBE, MC, Croix de Guerre, they still carry great weight.
I agree. In a similar position, I would make maximum use of my reputation.
Right.
But, as I myself spent a very unglamorous war, pen-pushing, the question does not arise. My only claim to fame is that I survived. Do you attend church, Ian?
We go to Evensong about once a month.
I think I shall go, occasionally. You know, I feel at home here. I will make a dreadful admission, Ian. There are times when I find my own country and countrymen less than enchanting. Over here, I feel I have a new lease of life. I should like to make my home for most of the year in Melscombe.
To work at the school, you mean?
If that is possible. I believe I have a great deal to offer. I could also bring in some capital for new developments.
Would you like me to sound Peter out?
Certainly, if you wish. I should very much like to become part of the community here. I am a man much given to instant decisions here. But my initial, gut reaction rarely lets me down.
That sounds an excellent idea.
What did you say to him?
I said I'd mention it to you.
It isn't on him.
Why not? You said yourself, we need someone else on the German side. Karl has also got Polish and Italian. He'd come for peanuts and he'd bring in capital. The hotel next door has been on the market for almost a year. We could make a bid for that.
Ian, the man has only been here for a few weeks. We know nothing about
him. He has been here long enough for me to see he's miles ahead of us on the technical side. We're already using the computer 100% more effectively. We could develop our own software.
Software sounds like something in boots.
Will you see Karl yourself?
There would be no point.
You're giving it a flat refusal.
Yes.
I think it should be discussed by the board.
The next meeting is after Molyneux.
I shall call one within the next week or so.
As you wish.
What's item 4? Garden party. Offer from Herrn Müller.
Yes, he's offered to hold a garden party at Manor Cottage in aid of festival funds. At his own expense, and he'll undertake to arrange everything.
He's extremely liberal in his use of someone else's property.
Carmody's have given their blessing.
Should we?
Well, looking at the state of our finances, we have no choice. We won't have to do anything.
Except turn up. Herr Müller is determined to become a pillar of the community in a record time.
I understand he wants to settle here.
What?
Ian says he wants to invest in the language school. He's putting it to the board.
I hope to God Peter sticks his heels in.
So do I. I think if Karl Müller stays, Peter will go.
Why do you say that?
Well, it'll mean a fundamental change of policy at the school. Ian said as much.
How the hell could a town this size contain Müller's oversized ego or pretensions? Thank God Peter has the final say.
Does he?
Well, he still holds 51% of the shares.
He and Gwen hold 51% of the shares.
Oh, Gwen or back Peter?
I don't know. If Karl Müller says, it might push Peter into retiring.
Why, he'll never retire.
Well, Gwen makes it increasingly clear that she's had enough of Melscombe. She'd much rather they move to their place in the Dordogne and live there permanently. If Peter's defeated at the board meeting, he'll resign. And if he resigns, he'll go.
Müller here, in place of Peter? It's unthinkable.
Yes.
There we are. You did say without sugar.
Yes, thank you. Lovely. I'm surprised Karl hasn't roped you in to run a stall or something.
No, he insisted on recruiting all his own help. Almost all the domestic staff from the school are here.
I see Sally's deeply involved.
She's been here since just after breakfast, together with half the kids from the village. They've been very good. Mind you, if Karl allows them a free run of the pool, it's the least they can do. Is Peter here?
Yes. Putting with David when last I saw him.
What? David's here?
Reluctantly, I think. I suspect he's fortified himself with a liquid lunch at the King's Head.
I find David's attitude to Karl difficult to understand. It isn't rational.
David isn't rational as far as Germans are concerned.
Oh, you know about Karl wanting to stay?
Yes.
I'm calling a full board meeting when Bernard gets back from the States next week. Will you be coming?
Yes, I'll be there.
You see, Carl would be very good for the school. I think most of the board see that.
Yes. Well, what's he up to now?
The video camera. Yes, Carl's a great one for the latest electronic gadgets. The kids tell me he's got a computer with every conceivable game. I think he set it up in the garage.
Tell me, Gwen, is this the first Teutonic garden party you attended?
Yes, I think it is. Did you win the putting?
I cannot beat your husband at anything. Darts, skittles. Mind you, he was a triple blue or something, wasn't he? I must say, I expected Wagner, not Percy Grainger.
Carl has very anglified tastes.
He's ingratiating himself.
We should be thinking about going, Gwen.
Should we? Oh, smile, everybody. I think we're being recorded for posterity.
My life. Eric von Stroheim.
No. Ignore the camera, please. That's natural. Carry on conversation.
Rhubarb. Come on, chaps. Intellectual chat.
That'll do, I think.
Are we the big finish, Carl?
No, not quite. I'll take something for later.
We're the riding breeches, the monocle, the riding crop.
This is my latest toy, although my real passion is photography. The afternoon has gone very well, don't you think?
Ah, very well.
We shall be finishing soon. You must all stay for drinks afterwards.
I'm afraid we shall have to go in a couple of minutes now.
I am sorry to hear that. Before you go, do you think you could sign my copy of The Fortune of Fellows?
Yes, of course.
Did you enjoy it?
I found it fascinating. I can't understand why I haven't come across it before.
Well, it's hardly likely that you would, is it?
Sorry?
Well, the bookshelves in Munich or anywhere else in Germany are unlikely to be packed with Peter's book. I don't think it would have a very good sale.
But David, there's
Peter's
no point.
Peter's description of the Rouen interlude with the Gestapo was particularly fine, I thought. Did you find it so, Herr Müller?
David, for God's sake.
So, you stop burning books now. I suppose that's a good sign.
Really,
oh, all right. I'm going.
Sorry about that, Carl.
That's quite all right. Dr. Simons has perhaps some reason for his bitterness, hmm?
All his family died in Belsen.
I see. If you wait here, Peter, I will fetch the book and the pen. I shall be busy all day tomorrow, I'm afraid. And on Thursday, I'm returning to Munich to tie up one or two loose ends there. What about tonight?
I shall be rather tied up until 9.
Come whenever you like. I shall be in all evening.
Would you like me to ring Mrs. Carmody to see if she'll listen to an offer for the cottage?
Yes, by all means.
And I'll bring details of anything else I think suitable.
Fine. I look forward to seeing you. I have a very nice Moselle I would like you to try.
Lovely. I should be over there by about 9:30.
Yes. Have you any idea how? I see. Yes, of course. I'll get onto it at once. That's quite all right, Inspector. Good night.
Please?
Yes.
Another break-in at the school?
No. Carl Muller's dead.
What?
Rachel called to see him this evening. She found his body in the swimming pool.
What on earth happened?
It seems as if he might have had a heart attack while he was swimming. I'd better ring Ian, then get down to the school.
Now?
Well, the police want to contact Muller's next of kin. There's probably something on file in the office.
What? He prided himself on his swimming 50 lengths a day.
Yes. I may be some time. I shouldn't wait up.
I hoped you'd come. I was going to ring, but the inspector said he was going to contact you.
How do you feel now?
Still rather shaky. Does Ian know?
Yes.
I was going to call and see him after I'd left the cottage, but I couldn't face telling it all over again. The stupid thing is, I thought Carl was acting a fool. He was always acting a fool in the water. Then I saw how still he was.
Did the police tell you anything?
The sergeant said they'd had a similar case last year. A heart attack. He was a strong swimmer, too. The doctor asked me if Carl drank heavily. I said no. He didn't, did he?
Fairly moderate, I think. Were you asked to make a statement?
Only verbally. They took notes, but somebody's coming tomorrow, today, to take a written statement. What will happen, Peter?
A post-mortem, then an inquest, I suppose.
I still can't believe it. There was music. Very bright and cheerful, Mozart or Haydn. Can you stay for a while?
Yes, of course.
And that's the revised timetable until Simon gets back. I think I've covered everything.
You've got Bill Evans down in two places at the same time.
Hmm?
There.
Oh, hell.
Well, Bill can take the class in the annex.
I'll take the other. Oh, yes, right. Thanks. I can't think straight. There's still a hell of a lot of activity around the cottage.
Oh?
Well, the police seem to have set up some sort of mobile office on the drive. Have you heard anything?
No. You know, we ought to try and get a temporary in until Simon gets back.
Hmm.
Have we got a list somewhere? Do you know what it's about?
No. He just asked if he could call and see me this lunchtime and said, would I give you a ring? I suggested meeting for lunch, but he said he'd prefer to meet here at the office.
It isn't festival business.
I don't know. Come in.
Sorry I'm late.
Oh, David. Would you like some coffee?
No, thanks.
What is it, David? I had a game of golf this morning with Ben Marshall. He's the senior pathologist at St. Mary's.
And?
Ben's a great one for talking shop. He carried out the post-mortem on Muller.
Yes?
Muller's death wasn't natural causes.
He had a heart condition. He took tablets.
That may have contributed, but it wasn't the cause. The water in his lungs didn't match the water in the pool. It came from the jacuzzi.
But he was in the pool.
He didn't die there. He drowned in the jacuzzi. His body must have been taken from there to the pool.
You mean he was murdered?
Well, the police are going to work on that assumption. That's what you both should know. The school will be swarming with reporters and police.
Yes.
And I shall be questioned again.
Not unless you want to be. You've made a statement.
Everybody thought it was natural causes then. I found him. I was there alone. That's why you've come to tell me, isn't it, David?
Rachel, you'd need the physique of a lady wrestler to qualify as a suspect. Come on. I'll buy you both lunch. I think we all need a drink.
Fourteen yards from the Jacuzzi to air. What was Murrow's weight? 10'8". But 5'10", not bulky. That sounds he was dragging.
Still a fair weight to lift out of the water and carry the heels.
Nothing in the past report about bruising around his chest or shoulders, is there?
No. No, I have asked him to look again.
Yeah, it would take some pressure and strength to hold him down like that.
Oh, I don't know. He could have been taken by surprise. He had a mild heart condition. Perhaps he passed out immediately.
It's got to be somebody who knew him.
Oh, yeah?
Well, both doors into the cottage were unlocked. An intruder could have taken what he wanted and cleared off. No need to come down here. Muller's wallet, credit cards and checkbook are all in the house.
What about money? There's some loose change in his pockets.
No notes?
No.
That's odd. No notes at all. You'd better get somebody checking when you last drew money from the bank.
I'll get Collins on it.
Right.
Oh, still Leos. It's somebody who knew it.
Yeah.
Well, what would your average intruder do if he wandered down here and found Muller sitting in the jacuzzi? He would not rush over and hold him under the water. He'd turn and leg it.
Could have panicked.
So how did he stay cool enough to get Muller's body out, put trunks on him, cart him over here and pop him in the water?
No, it's somebody who knows this place.
Odds on, we'll find Muller's ginger. Slight wager?
No, thank you. It's going to be messy, John, you know? It'd be tricky enough if he were local.
And there's the press. Bitty and messy.
I agree. Why us? I ask myself.
Because the chief said it has got to be handled by somebody from outside.
I suppose we'll find out why in the fullness of time.
Are we getting any bodies from the local Nick?
4 PCs, 3 DCs, 2 DSs. One of whom I gather is a woman.
CID?
Yeah, local girl. I understand she's very good.
Oh, yeah.
Let's have a look at the jacuzzi.
That's the water. And that's for bubbles. See? Ever had a jacuzzi?
No. It's the first time I've ever seen one.
You should try it. Do wonders for your married life. If you get in together, that is.
Oh, yes. Suit it off, then. Yeah. Nice and deep to hold anybody down in. It's quite possible he didn't hear anybody come in.
No, no. They sat here and had a glass of wine with him.
Yes.
Chief Inspector Gardner?
Yes.
Detective Sergeant Pierce.
As in Uncle Tom Cobley and all?
Yes.
This is Inspector Fritch. What's your first name then, Sergeant?
Janice.
I'm sure it's very unprofessional, but I shall call you Janice. Unless you'd rather have Pierce.
I don't mind, sir.
Ever had a jacuzzi, Janice?
No.
It's an experience.
It was for Herr Muller. Are you in the picture, Janice?
Just the basic details, sir.
Yeah. Do you know this language school where Muller was teaching?
Yes. I took a French conversation course there last month.
And did you come across Muller?
No. I know the principal, Mr. Sheridan, by sight. I suppose everybody in the town does.
Sheridan's the war hero, is he?
Yes. Have you read his book?
No.
Well, you ought to. Where are your colleagues, though, Janice?
I think they're on their way from Tiverton. They shouldn't be too long.
Yeah, right. And we'd better start finding out what we can about Herr Muller.
How's your German, Janice?
I got an O-level pass.
Oh, you're okay for chatting up the Kraut police in Munich, then?
The telex has already gone. Have you got transport, then?
I've got my own car, sir.
Good. Now go down to the school and get a list of anybody who had any contact with Muller. Social or professional. No detailed questioning. Just get a few names of them.
Yes, sir.
Should have set up the phone in the mobile office for now. Get the phone number before you go.
I've already done that, sir.
Fine. And be back for, 11. We should all be gathered by then.
Right, sir.
Yeah, I take it all back. Very nice.
When is your selection board, John?
Next month.
You could be asked about women in the CID. It's a favourite question these days. Think about it.
Right, sir. I'll check with Muller's bank, shall I?
Yes. Oh, before you go...
Yeah?
When D.S. Pierce comes back with her list, the names on it won't be the sort who take kindly to rough handling.
You mean they've got pull?
I mean, if their toes are trodden on, they'll shout in the right ears.
Softly, softly, then.
That's it, Inspector.
So what will they ask?
Oh, how well you knew Muller. How he spent his time, his friends, what he talked about, virtually anything about him.
What about where were you on the night of the 15th and all that?
I suppose they'll ask that as a matter of routine.
Everybody their question?
Probably.
Assuming they think it's someone who knew him?
Yes.
I feel just as I used to feel when the head was dressing us down after somebody had written something unspeakable in the blogs. I was always totally innocent, of course, but I felt guilty as hell.
It'll probably be a tired, not very bright detective constable anxious to get through the paperwork.
Have you been contacted?
Somebody's calling to see me this afternoon. I'll let you know if I get the third degree.
Right. Our friend Muller. Intelligent. A bit cocky with it. Keen to make a good impression. Good. Very good at his job. A bit of a health nut, like people to take him for younger than he was. Threw his money about.
I got the impression people were beginning to find him a bit too pushy.
Yeah, he obviously wanted to get his nose into this festival thing.
But no evidence of positive dislike.
No, I'd say it was well liked.
You don't think he was homosexual, then?
No, well, okay, I'll back to loser there. Understandable. I reckon he was fancying, so...
Thompson. Rachel Thompson.
Yeah, Miss Thompson.
Was she interested?
She came round to the cottage fairly late to see him.
Oh, I suppose 9:30 is late round here.
Miss Thompson is a keen businesswoman. She wanted to sell him some property.
I suppose she's clear.
I take it you haven't seen her?
No. Good report, second hand.
Oh, she's 5'2", not much over 8 stone, very slim. There's no way she could have managed it.
Well, just a thought. She could have had somebody with her.
Ian Lambert's her brother-in-law.
Yes.
His statement's a bit vague, I thought.
Yeah, I see it.
It was something about being at home all night. Here.
Wife and children away at her mother's. Got home just after 7. Never went out. Watched television. Bed at 11. He knew Muller better than anybody else over here. Visited him with his family. His kids used the pool. He was very keen on Muller staying here permanently.
Which Sheridan opposed.
Whose report is that in?
There's something I picked up at the school. Lambert and Sheridan disagreed strongly about Muller staying.
Yeah.
It was going to be put to a board meeting. They would probably have voted for Muller to stay.
Why was Sheridan opposed?
I don't know. I read Sheridan's book at the weekend. You know what I thought?
What?
If the Germans had done to me what they did to Sheridan, I'd want to kill every one of the bastards.
Yes, I can see that.
But you're not Sheridan. No, it just crossed my mind. There are plenty of people about who still feel strongly about the war. We could be looking for some nutter who's got a thing about the Kraut, Germans.
Yes, it's possible. My mother and sister were killed in the Plymouth Blitz. Do I qualify?
It was just a thought.
We cannot rule out an intruder.
No, I don't think that's all.
He drew out 105ers 2 days before he was killed.
Oh, yeah?
We haven't found any of it. A gold wristwatch is missing.
Taken to put us off. What about Sheridan's alibi? Working alone at the festival office from 7:30 to 10. No cooperation. I think we should see him again. He wasn't asked why he didn't want Muller to stay.
Well, I'd rather wait until we hear what Munich's got to say about Muller.
There was no rush.
I think we'll start looking at the people he knew outside the school.
The press are going to be on our back soon.
Well, that's the press officer's worry, not ours. Nice coffee, Janice. Any biscuits?
Anything else on publicity, Bernard?
Let's see. Yes, posters. They'll be ready by the weekend.
Distribution?
All in hand. This has been the best year ever from the publicity angle.
Oh, how?
Melscombe is in the news.
The type of visitor we get for festival week isn't likely to come out of morbid curiosity.
No such thing as bad publicity. And there'll be another little upsurge of coverage shortly.
Why do you say that?
The German police are sending somebody over.
CID give you a day-by-day rundown on their activities, do they, Bernard?
An Inspector Hafler is booked in at the Crown. 2 nights. The Nationals are certain to pick it up.
Let's hope they mention the festival. Now, sound amplification in St. Andrews.
Where did you hear that?
A Mrs. Hendricks. She was helping with the refreshments at Muller's garden party.
Huh? And what was the row about?
I don't know that it was a proper row. But Dr. Simons did most of the talking. She couldn't hear exactly what was said. And Dr. Simons left immediately afterwards.
We haven't even got Simons listed as an acquaintance.
I don't know whether they'd met before.
Do you know anything about Dr. Simons?
He's a partner in a joint practice. He isn't very popular. I think he runs the music side of the festival.
Yes. Get me his telephone number, will you, please?
Can you recall what you said, Dr. Simons?
Not the exact words. I'd had rather a lot to drink. I believe I was rather unpleasant.
Oh, why?
Oh, he made some fatuous comment about Peter Sheridan's book.
Hmm. Did you dislike Herr Muller?
Yes.
Because he was German?
Because he was a certain type of German.
I understand you were born in France, Sir Doctor.
Yes, I was.
Would you mind telling me something about your background?
Chief Inspector, I had a surgery in Tokyo.
Well, just the war years. Very briefly.
I was born in Paris. I lived there until 1945, when I came to England. Both my parents and most of my relations died in Belsen. I spent virtually the whole war in hiding, moving in and about the city to anyone who would have me. Musically, I was considered to be something of a child prodigy. But for a Jewish boy in hiding, playing the violin, especially as well as I did, was not a good idea. Will that do?
Yes, thank you. Would you mind telling me where you were between 8 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. on Thursday the 4th? Routine inquiries, Dr. Simons.
Routine inquiries. I was out walking for most of that time.
Where?
Morley Wood, and up to the Beacon. My back garden opens onto the wood.
Were you alone?
No, my dog was with me. I left the house about 7:30, got back about 9. As far as I know, no one saw me leave or come back, except the dog. Now, I'm sorry, Chief Inspector, I shall have to go. If you wish to see me again, I suggest you come when I have some more time at my disposal.
Now, don't get me wrong. Bill Gardner's one of the best. But he's only got 2 speeds. Slow and stop.
I think he's all right.
He's not all right for this one. Or perhaps somebody thinks he is.
What do you mean?
Well, why were we brought in from outside, eh? Because none of the local coppers dare ask Sheridan the time. He stands equal with God in this place. Ex-JP, this committee, that committee. Plays golf with a chief constable. The top brass picked Bill Gardner because they know his reputation for taking things carefully.
He doesn't miss much.
Well, true, but it's pace I'm talking about, darling. Pace. We should have been back at Sheridan like a shot. And Simons. If you'd let me have a go at them. Especially Simons. Did you see his alibi?
What's the hurry?
Oh, you're all the same down here.
Oh, Swede bashers. Turnip heads.
Yeah, you've got it. They don't bury their dead down here. They sit them on the seafront. Or put them on committees.
Your boss is thinking of retiring down here. Did you know?
No. Ah, well. That explains a lot.
So, you see, Chief Inspector, the fact that Müller had no next of kin was not immediately surprising. For his age and background, it was not unusual. He told his colleagues that his wife and child were killed in the war, others of his family also. Nevertheless, we searched his apartment for documents to prove that he possessed the next of kin. We found this army document.
Paybook?
Oh, yeah, paybook. And other papers relating to his army service. And then, by chance, a letter was found between the pages of a book by his bedside. I have it here. Together, this is the envelope.
Well, it's not addressed to Müller.
No. Lieutenant Stegmann. We assume that is the address of his billet in Angers. But the most interesting fact is that Stegmann was an officer in the Gestapo. You understand the meaning of that?
Yes, yes, I think so.
Now, the letter itself. It is necessary to be very careful. It has clearly been folded and unfolded many times.
What does it say?
It is a love letter. To Otto Stegmann from his wife Isabella. It is dated 8th January 1944 from their home in Leipzig. She speaks of their child. It is a very tender, moving letter. The kind of letter a soldier would have next to him. It contains no solid facts, except it gives indications that Stegmann was expecting to be posted to Rouen.
Rouen?
Yes. Does that have significance?
No, nothing special.
Oh, so we asked ourselves, why should Müller keep another man's letter? We looked again at the information we possessed on Karl Müller. He came from a small village in the north near Bremen. I visited there and asked questions. I found an old farmer who was the uncle of Carl. He told me Carl had never returned from the war. He was presumed dead. I showed him a recent photograph of Carl Müller. He said it was not Carl.
Mm-hmm.
So, once more we considered the letter. And we look again at the copy of the autopsy which you sent to us. We read of slight traces of scar tissue below right armpit. Now, it was the practice of Gestapo personnel to have their blood group tattooed there. And therefore, we reached the conclusion that Stegmann was Carl Müller. He took his identity.
How could he do that?
Well, it is impossible to say exactly how, but probably close to the end of the war, Stegmann gained possession of Müller's identity documents. Müller had probably been killed.
Mm.
And from that time onwards, he became Carl Müller. Except, of course, he kept well away from Müller's place of birth. There was great confusion at the end of the war. Many similar things happened.
Did all Gestapo officers try to hide their identities?
Well, a great many did. Mm-hmm. But they were not all guilty of crimes, you understand. But the name Gestapo had unpleasant associations.
Were you able to find out anything about Stegmann from army records?
No. We could find no records at all from Angers. The Gestapo headquarters at Rouen was a large chateau just outside the town, and no records exist from there. It was attacked and destroyed in July 1944 by the resistance.
But you think Müller, Stegmann, was stationed at Rouen sometime after January 1944?
The letter would indicate so quite firmly. So, that is as much as we have discovered at the present time.
Yeah.
It's all contained in the written report, of course, but it was felt someone should explain the situation.
A first-class piece of work, Inspector.
Thank you. Will it be of help in your investigation?
Yeah, it's just what the doctor ordered.
Doctor?
It's great. Superb.
I'm sure it'll be a tremendous help, Inspector, when we've had time to read your report again and consider its implications.
What are we doing with him tomorrow? He's going to be under our feet.
Janice can see to him until he's trained. She can take him sightseeing.
She'll be thrilled about that. You're not telling him about Sheridan?
Not until there's something to tell.
Something to tell? The tie-up's there. Sheridan was at the Gestapo HQ near Rouen. Müller, Stegmann, was going there. The date's fit.
Tomorrow, John. It all needs thinking about very carefully.
When are we seeing Sheridan?
In the morning. Don't say anything to the others yet.
Are the press going to be told?
Not yet. It wouldn't be in the best interest of the investigation.
Oh, that's the official line, is it?
From the top.
Because it's Peter Sheridan, OBE, MC, Croix de Guerre.
Have you got something personal against Sheridan?
I've never met him. I just don't see why there should be a different set of rules for him. Anybody else, and we would have been round to see them tonight. Or we would have had them in.
No. And if you think about it, really think, you'll see why. One more implication that I'm soft-peddling on Sheridan or anybody else, and I'll have you off this case. Drop me at the cottage.
I see we had a brief chat last week, Mr. Sheridan, Wednesday the 10th.
Yes.
I asked you if you'd ever met or seen Herr Müller before he came to Malscombe. And you said you met him for the first time at Mr. Ian Lambert's house shortly after you arrived.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, you're quite sure about that, Mr. Sheridan?
Certain.
You see, we now know that Carl Müller was a Gestapo officer during the war and that he was stationed in Rouen.
You were captured in Rouen, weren't you, Mr. Sheridan?
Yes, I was.
I understand. You were at Gestapo headquarters in April 1944.
Yes, I was.
Our information is that Carl Müller was also there at the same time, at the Gestapo headquarters. It was just outside Rouen, wasn't it, Mr. Sheridan?
Yes, about 3 miles.
It's possible that you and Müller were actually under the same roof.
Yes, I suppose it's possible.
He might even have been involved in your interrogation.
No, I remember my interrogators very clearly.
Do you recall the name Stegmann? Lieutenant Otto Stegmann?
No.
Carl Müller's real name was Otto Stegmann, Mr. Sheridan. You must know that a good many Gestapo officers took other identities at the end of the war.
Yes, I know that.
Well, you think again, Mr. Sheridan. Did you know Carl Muller before he came to Melscombe?
No, I didn't, Chief Inspector.
He was there. You were there, in the same building.
The building was a chateau about the size of Longleat. It must have housed at least 100 men, probably a good many more. I spent virtually all the time in a sort of coach house, well away from the chateau.
And you never saw Muller?
No. After my first few hours there, I wasn't in much of a state to notice anything. I'd been battered about the face so much I could barely see.
But you remember your interrogators?
Yes. I made a point of remembering them.
You name three men in your book?
Yes, they all died in a pitched battle with the resistance later that year.
In your account of the interrogation, Mr. Sheridan, you say there were five men in the room.
Well, the other two were NCOs. They did the manhandling. They never spoke.
So, it's all a remarkable coincidence.
Muller may well have been at the chateau, but I didn't see him. You say he took a false identity?
Yes.
So, presumably, he had something to hide. He'd spent the last 39 years or so covering up. Surely his first reaction on seeing me, assuming we knew each other, would be to run. I was a face from his unsavoury past. But he didn't run. He wanted to stay.
Which you opposed?
Yes.
Why, Mr. Sheridan?
I thought a man of 63 was too old to be joining the teaching staff. And I thought we didn't know much about him. I felt we needed more time to consider the matter. If Muller had been one of my interrogators, Chief Inspector, all I had to do was ring the Foreign Office. Or the German Embassy. Did Muller tell anyone in Melscombe that he knew me?
Not as far as we know.
You say you were at the Festival Office from 7:30 to 10 on the night of Muller's death.
Yes.
Did you go there by car?
Yes.
Where did you park, Mr. Sheridan?
In the municipal car park behind the town hall.
Wouldn't it have been easier to walk from home?
I find it a short walk down, but a long walk back these days. Are we likely to be much longer, Chief Inspector? If we are, I shall have to postpone an appointment.
Why, I think that will do for now, Mr. Sheridan. If we see you again, we'd like it to be at the station.
Oh, as long as I'm given reasonable notice.
You will appreciate that the information we've given you about Muller is confidential.
Yes, I realise that. Will it remain so?
Well, that's difficult to say, Mr. Sheridan. We shall do our best.
Yes, I'm sure you will.
Well, ready and waiting with it all worked out.
What did you expect? It must have seemed like child's play. He's the only man I've ever interviewed who's been trained to stand up to interrogation.
Trained to lie?
You think he was lying?
No, I don't know.
We told him a lot more than he told us.
It's the alibi we've got to go for.
We've already established nobody else used the Festival Office that night.
Well, there's the car.
It's almost a fortnight ago. Dozens of cars parked in the municipal car park at night. No attendant, nobody's going to remember.
But we are going to check.
Oh, yes, we'll check.
Our layout Sheridan has been under his brief already. And the Chief Constable.
Yeah. It's not the kind of man to react like that, or overreact.
Oh, he's worried about the press.
So am I. Stop at the Festival Office. We're a time from there to the cottage the back way.
It'd be laughable if it wasn't so serious.
Well, the police had to follow it up.
Do you think they have any conception what it was like? How many Gestapo and SS were about at that time? There were 32,000 in Paris alone. I had an aunt in Rouen. I dare say I'll be getting another visit soon. Have they seen Gwen?
No. Why?
The Germans killed her brother Mark, remember? I suppose eventually they'll come up with the theory that you, Gwen, and I worked as a team. I hope in your discreet sort of way you told me to go to hell.
I just answered their questions. It was all very civilized.
Do you know Mr. Sheridan by sight, Miss Reynolds? I mean, apart from seeing him through your window.
Oh, I know him personally. I was a member of the festival committee in its early years.
Surely it isn't unusual for Mr. Sheridan to call and see Miss Thompson. She's the festival secretary, isn't she?
He has a key to her front door. I've seen him let himself in.
Do you know how long he's been doing that?
Oh, quite a long time. Several years. only about once or twice a month, although he may have called more frequently, I suppose. I don't spend all day watching Miss Thompson's house. It's just that I take my afternoon tea by the window.
I think you should get legal advice.
I'd rather wait. The fewer people who know, the better.
The police won't be able to keep it out of the papers.
I think they will. They don't want reporters under their feet.
You ought to have some kind of statement ready.
I've got one. No comment.
Well, that won't stop them. Can't you see it? Death of ex-Nazi, war hero questioned.
It may give a boost in sales to the fortunate fellows.
Peter, the last thing I need is to stiff upper lip.
Oh, what should I do? Run round in small circles? I haven't been charged. I haven't been accused of anything. I've answered a few questions, that's all.
We only have Sheridan's word and his wife's on what he was wearing.
Forensic's gone through his wardrobe. No traces of pool water, no traces of water from the jacuzzi. Coming!
He'd have got rid.
Yeah, if he needed to. Yes, Janice?
I've just seen the old lady, a Miss Reynolds, who lives opposite Rachel Thompson. You asked me to try and find out if Muller used to visit Miss Thompson.
Oh, yes. And did he?
No. But Peter Sheridan did, and has been doing for many years. He has his own key.
Beautiful.
It's hardly surprising that I should call and see Rachel from time to time, Chief Inspector. We're both closely involved with the festival, and she is a family friend.
Does your wife know you have a key to Miss Thompson's house, Mr. Sheridan?
No, she doesn't know that.
Were you, are you, having an affair with Miss Thompson?
Is that relevant to your investigation?
It could be.
I've been seeing Rachel over a number of years.
Regularly?
About once a week, I suppose.
Have you seen her since Muller came?
A couple of times.
Did you discuss Muller?
No. I still don't see how this is relevant, Chief Inspector.
It's obvious Muller fancied Miss Thompson. Surely you noticed. Other people did. Or perhaps you think her relationship with Muller was purely business.
I don't know what it was. It was none of my concern.
Now, come on. There you are with a nice, steady arrangement, and along comes Muller. Shows an interest. So does she. You find yourself being edged out after all these years. You're telling us you didn't care.
I'm telling you it wasn't any of my business.
Miss Thompson is a very attractive woman, Mr. Sheridan. In your position, I'd find it hard to lose out to another man. And not a younger man, either, a pushy German. That must have rankled.
I dare say you would find it hard. But I don't take such a macho view of things.
You were prepared to sit back and let Muller take over?
You know that I visited Rachel. Presumably you know how many times Muller came to her house.
Miss Thompson went to the cottage several times, Mr. Sheridan.
She found the body. 9:30 in the evening is late for a business call, don't you think?
I don't know. You'd better ask Miss Thompson.
I thought it was all over.
It is, in the sense you mean.
Well, the police think not.
Have they been to see you?
No. Miss Reynolds called. She thought I should know before I heard the gossip. I think she was bitterly disappointed by my reaction.
Rachel is still a friend. A good friend. Muller's death shook her very badly. I've been to see her several times over the past few weeks.
And, of course, there's the festival.
She needed someone to talk to.
Yes, I see.
Did you find them?
No. Collins.
Were they hidden?
Not really. They were in an unlocked drawer, mixed in with a pile of other photos. Muller fancied himself as a photographer. He used the second bathroom as a dark room.
Who is she?
I don't know.
Underage, I'd say. Janice!
It looks as if they were all taken at the cottage.
Yeah.
Yes, sir?
Do you know this girl?
Yes. It's Mr. Lambert's daughter.
You sure?
Certain. Sally. Did Muller take these?
Looks like it. How old is she?
13, 14.
Something else we didn't know about Herr Muller. I wonder if Mr. Lambert knew. You saw quite a lot of Carl Muller, Mr. Lambert?
Yes, a fair amount.
Did you know he was a keen photographer?
Yes, I knew that.
Did you know he photographed your daughter?
I suppose he must have done it. Snapped just about everything and everybody.
He's
took these photographs, Mr. Lambert. Don't take them out of the covers, please. Oh, Christ.
Is that Sally, Mr. Lambert?
Yes.
Did you know the existence of these photographs?
No.
Is your wife at home, Mr. Lambert?
No, she's still at her mother's with the children.
I realise it could prove distressing, but I am afraid we shall have to talk to Sally and Mrs. Lambert.
Is that really necessary?
It might be. We have to establish whether you or your wife or anyone else knew about those photographs. You must see that.
It would be awkward for everybody if we had to bother your wife at her mother's.
Well, Mr. Lambert.
Yes. I knew. Afterwards, not at the time. Sally's always been something of a problem, but we never thought. I couldn't believe.
How did you find out?
My wife found a photograph in Sally's dressing table. Not like those, but suggestive enough to make us worried. We confronted her. It was obvious there was more to it, and eventually she told us. Muller came back to the cottage one afternoon when she was sunbathing by the pool, topless. He asked if he could photograph her, told her she had a beautiful figure. Well, you can imagine she was flattered. He treated her like an adult. She said nothing else happened, just the photographs.
Did you believe her?
I don't know. The idea of her being photographed like that, it's bad enough.
Mm. When did you find this out, Mr. Lambert?
About a fortnight ago.
Before Muller's death? We can ask Sally.
The day before. Tea time. As soon as we found out, my wife took Sally and the boys to her mother's. I couldn't bear to have Sally in the house.
What about Muller, Mr. Lambert? How did you feel about him?
How do you think I felt?
Like any father. You wanted to give him a bloody good hiding. What did you do, Mr. Lambert?
Nothing.
Nothing? You sat back and accepted it.
I didn't know what to do. I thought about the police, but I wasn't sure if an offence had been committed. And if it had, there'd be publicity. I made up my mind to speak to Muller.
And did you?
No. I saw him at the school, of course, but there was no opportunity to talk privately. I decided to call round that evening and see him at the cottage.
The fourth?
Yes.
So? What happened?
I didn't go.
You didn't go to the cottage at all?
No.
Why was that, Mr. Lambert?
I didn't know what the hell I was going to say. Muller and I had been on such good terms. I was pulling strings for him to stay. And I thought, what if Sally is making it up? We only had her word about the other photographs.
You were going to let it go?
No, I just couldn't face it then.
You stayed at home all evening?
Yes.
You made no contact with Muller at all?
No.
Not even the telephone?
No.
It's hard to swallow, Mr. Lambert, very hard. You'd had over 24 hours to think about what you were going to say. Or do. What did you do? Did you go there? Did you? Christ, it's understandable. We're not suggesting it was premeditated.
I never went near the cottage.
Have they got enough to charge him, do you think?
George says it's 50-50. Ian's been in a shocking state since Muller's death. It explains why.
Muller's death has touched just about everything and everybody. I half expected the festival to collapse.
It'll go ahead now, whatever happens.
But what else could happen? I don't think we could have picked a more appropriate finale than a Shropshire lad. The Dying Fall.
Yes.
I read it again at the weekend. I knew The Fortunate Fellows was from Housman, of course. I didn't know it was from that.
Yes. The lads who will die in their glory and never be old. That's fortunate, don't you think?
Well, it narrows the field. All we needed was four more enraged fathers.
I'm certain no other girls were involved.
What do you think?
About what?
Lambert. Did he have the bottle?
I can't imagine him staying cool enough to cover up afterwards.
No.
You're having him in again this afternoon, aren't you?
No, that's off.
Oh?
Lambert's lawyer has said charge him or leave him alone. Put up or shut up.
Does he know something we don't?
How did we get on to Lambert?
The photographs.
Right. Lambert kills Muller.
makes it look like natural causes. In his shoes, what would you have done next?
Look for the photographs.
And you'd have found them. They weren't hidden. Lambert wouldn't have cleared off, leaving evidence that was certain to incriminate him. That is what Mr. Ian Lambert's smart-ass lawyer is going to say. And we are in the Malulu again, right up to the armpits. I've never been on one like this. Three in the frame, iffy alibis, clear motives, but no forensic, fingerprints, witnesses, nothing. So what is the chief saying to Bill Gardner at this moment?
What?
Either A, clear off, I'm taking over, or B, clear off, I'm bringing in the yard. He's also very probably telling him that Sheridan or Simons or the old bleeding town is making an official complaint. A small wager. A or B?
Oh, you don't bet. Anyway, I'm broke.
I wasn't thinking of money.
What's happening?
We're on the move. Shutting up shop.
They've taken us off it.
No.
It's been dropped.
No. Put aside. The case is still open, but with a reduced priority. Collins is staying on it.
Collins?
Start clearing your desk. We're due over at Melverton in an hour.
What's there?
Somebody's gone berserk with a shotgun. Two dead, three wounded, including a copper.
We haven't finished here.
No? On the point of solving it, were you?
Somebody is getting away with it. All right, Muller was a bastard. It wouldn't matter if it had been Martin Bormann. Our job is to catch whoever did it.
I don't need telling
that. It'll stay on the books, and it's down to us.
John, we could stay here forever and still get no further.
Something might turn up.
All right, you stay on it in place of Collins. You can have that desk. Probably give you a couple of DCs. The delectable Janice, if you're lucky.
It needs a proper team.
A shooting at Melbourne needs several teams. It niggles me to leave an investigation like this. I don't like it either. But between you, me and the gatepost, I don't give a toss who killed Muller. And even if I did, it wouldn't matter. We're on a loser.
An intruder, was it? Or somebody from outer space?
Stay and find out. Look, you could interview Sheridan until doomsday, and he'd tie you in bigger knots each time. Simons and Lambert will refuse to talk at all.
Has the DPP's office said we haven't enough?
It has. Well, do you want to stay? No? Right. Clear your desk.
Let me top you up.
Oh, thanks. Have you seen Peter anywhere?
The last time I saw him, Ian had him pinned in a corner and was proposing sweeping changes at the school. When Ian gets drunk, he becomes very earnest and very bored. Unlike myself, of course.
He seemed to be several drinks ahead when he arrived.
I think he's been celebrating, if that's the word.
Celebrating?
The law is off his back. Well, everybody's back.
Oh, yes, of course.
The shadow of suspicion has been lifted. That probably accounts for the rather frenetic air about everything tonight. A festival to remember.
Yes. I'd better find Peter. We ought to be going.
Well, you can't go yet.
Well, I'm off to see Liz tomorrow. I've got a lot to do.
And can't you persuade Peter to go with you? A rest would do him the world of good.
It's pointless trying.
Well, Peter hasn't done his Maurice Chevalier. He always gives his Maurice Chevalier on the last night.
Not this year, David.
No, perhaps not.
Do your party, please.
My Max Jaffa, you mean?
Your Yasha Heifetz. La fille au cheveux de lin. I'd love to hear that before I go.
You make it sound very final. Yes, well, it just so happens I do have my fiddle about somewhere. Let's find Peter. He may give us Louise.
Shall I drive you to Heathrow? We can stop somewhere for lunch on the way.
I think I'd rather have lunch at home and take a train up to town. Plenty of time.
And what time is the flight?
7:37.
Is Liz meeting you at Geneva?
Yes.
How long will you stay?
Well, that's something we should talk about.
Yes.
I shall stay with Liz and Pierre for a week or so and then go on to Rubarak.
For the summer, you mean?
No, I'm planning to stay.
Stay?
To live there. I'm leaving Melscombe for good, Peter. I've done the loyal wife bit. Police have gone, the festival is over.
Are you leaving me or Melscombe?
both, I suppose.
Is it Rachel?
No. In true Mel's confession, I've turned a blind eye to all that. I didn't think it mattered all that much. I still don't. I thought we were honest with each other over the things that did matter.
I think we have been.
Have been. Past tense. Perhaps it was necessary to lie to the police, Peter. And to everybody else. But not to me.
What do you mean?
I mean the clothes you were wearing the night Muller died were missing from your wardrobe when the police came. I mean I rang the festival office that night and no one answered.
I see.
I've waited for you to tell me. Peter, I can't sink back into the muted life we have here and pretend that nothing has happened.
I didn't. Don't want you involved.
I was involved from the moment you and Muller met at Ian's. You knew each other. I saw it. Just for a split second.
Yes, I knew him.
From Rouen?
Yes.
Was he there?
The whole time. Not actively involved. He was an interpreter. They didn't know I spoke German, and I played for time by pretending I couldn't follow their French. He spoke perfect English, even then. He rang me the day after we met at Ian's. He was very keen to get together for a chat. He sounded exactly like an old school friend one hadn't seen for years.
You avoided him?
I hoped it wasn't obvious. I thought I could keep out of his way during the time he was here. But then he announced his plans for staying. And got Ian's support.
Why didn't you tell Ian?
I thought Muller might listen to reason and leave. So I went to see him. He wasn't expecting me. Nobody answered the doorbell, but I could hear music from the garden, so I went down there. There was a light on in the cabin beside the pool. I called his name.
In here! Come in! Oh, Peter! Delighted to see you. Hang on a moment. That's better. Do sit down. A glass of wine?
Thank you.
Help yourself. A very acceptable Moselle. I was surprised to find it over here. Well, this is very pleasant. I was beginning to wonder if we would ever talk, Peter. Just the two of us, I mean. I formed the impression you were avoiding me.
I was.
But why? We have a great deal in common. We go back a long way.
I came to talk about the future, not the past.
As you wish.
I want you to drop the idea of staying.
I think not, Peter.
It's an impossible situation. Can't you see that?
No. I'm afraid I don't. Agreed, we both have painful memories, but we have learned to cope. Another minor adjustment should not be too difficult. The past is past. I look forward to my life and to working together.
The past is not past. Every time I see you, I see that room. I see the bath and the blood on the wall.
I was no part of that.
You saw men die there.
I have disciplined myself to forget such things. So should you.
I had, until you came.
Peter, my reasons for wanting to settle here are quite genuine. I shall buy this house, and I shall lead a quiet, civilized life by the sea, as you do. As for the past, my presence will be good for your soul, and yours will be good for mine. Like you, I shall uphold the cultural banner. Don't worry, I shall not undermine your position as a resident hero. Will you give me a refill, please? A drink, not the town.
He was so surprised, he barely struggled at first. By the time he realized what was happening, it was too late. It didn't take long.
Why, Peter, why? There must have been a reason. Muller was living under an assumed name. All you had to do was to threaten to expose him.
Well, what was there to expose? Service with the Gestapo carried a stigma in the post-war years. It means nothing now. He probably only kept on the name Muller because it was convenient.
But if you'd explained to Ian or any of the board, they would never have considered keeping him.
I couldn't do that.
Why not?
I had more to lose than Muller.
What do you mean?
Muller knew what I'd left out of the Fortunate Fellows. There should have been another paragraph at the end of the chapter that described my interrogation, after I'd been given La Baignoire and the rest of it.
Yes?
Muller came to see me in my cell. He's very sympathetic. He had me cleaned up and taken to a comfortable sitting room in the chateau. A log fire, easy chairs. I was given coffee and a large brandy. Muller talked about England, how much he loved London, the Cotswolds. He went on for quite a while about Stowe. Then he told me that the interrogation would begin again in a few minutes. He said it would be worse. These men are barbarians, he said. For God's sake, tell them something, anything. One name, one fact, anything. Tell me. So I told him. I knew it was all part of the interrogation technique. I knew I hadn't held out the 3 days we were told to hold out. But I told him. I gave him an address. I heard myself say it. He gave me another brandy and I was taken away. I expected a flood of questions after that, but they asked me nothing more. They'd probably been told to save me for the experts. That afternoon, I was on the train to Paris. The rest is just as it says in the book. The train was derailed by an RAF raid. I got away. Resistance looked after me.
You told no one?
No. I was hiding for almost a week before I managed to contact anyone. No one seemed to suspect anything. When I emerged after the liberation of Paris, I expected to be denounced, but nothing happened. I was greeted like a hero. There was a sort of chaotic euphoria. I came home. The war ended. The period of recriminations and counter-recriminations was just beginning in France. I expected someone to work things out. Then I heard the chateau near Rouen had been attacked by the resistance just after the Allied landings. The place was burnt down. Very few of the staff survived. The records must have been destroyed too. Nevertheless, I thought there'd be someone, somewhere. And of course there was.
Other agents broke under interrogation. People would have understood.
Not in the post-war years. We all had to be heroes. I was a self-confessed one.
That was one moment, one incident. The rest was all true. People would have understood later.
By that time, The Fortunate Fellows was a bestseller.
Why did you write it?
By then, I almost believed that's how it was. I suppose it was a challenge to anyone to say otherwise. I'd learned that an agent de liaison working for the resistance had been found to be a double agent around the time I was taken. The Gestapo could have got information from him. And the book also gave me the chance to juggle with dates to cover my tracks.
Dates?
Mark was picked up on the 10th of April. According to the dates in The Fortunate Fellows, that was the day before I was taken. In fact, Mark was arrested the day after I talked to Muller.
Mark?
The address I gave Muller was the safe flat in Paris where Mark was arrested by the Gestapo, where he took cyanide.
You should have told me.
When? In 44, when I came back? You found Mark's death hard enough to take as it was.
I loved you. I would have understood.
At 19, I would have lost you. I couldn't have faced that.
You could have told me later.
I tried to, several times. There was never a right time. I thought you'd leave me.
You thought that?
I couldn't take the risk.
If only you'd spoken when Muller came.
I hoped he would leave and that would be the end of it.
You must have known that wasn't likely.
Yes.
If he stayed, I intended to suggest to you that I retired and we moved to Riverac.
Why didn't you?
It wouldn't have solved anything. Muller must have heard my name and something about me from Simon. I think that's why he came over here. To make use of the situation. When he came, he was even more intrigued. And he liked Malcolm.
Perhaps he would have kept quiet. Especially if we left.
No. He would have found it impossible to keep quiet. When I saw him lying back in the bath, smiling and sipping his wine, I knew for certain that one day he would talk. And I knew that I was going to kill him. There was an element of retribution, I suppose. An ironic justice. Muller must have seen men die in that old iron bath when they were given La Baignoire a little too thoroughly. He must have seen a great many other things, too. I thought of that when I held him under the water.
Peter, please.
I felt nothing when I killed Muller. I feel nothing now. No regret or guilt. You see, Gwen, what I am, what I really am, is what I was then. I slipped back into it as soon as I knew Muller had to die. And I reverted to the one fundamental rule I lived by then. Don't get caught. Lie, cheat, kill. Forget all moral sense. Don't get caught. Act first, think afterwards, Sheridan, the Colonel used to say. You're that sort of person. You have a finely honed instinct for self-survival. Trust it. They're in their graves, my comrades are. In my grave, I am not. I too was taught the trade of man and spelt the lesson plain. But they, when I forgot and ran, remembered and remain. I found that verse underlined in Mark's copy of Houseman when I sorted out his belongings afterwards. I'd never seen the poem before. I inherited his obsession.
Yes.
You remember Mark's habit of making margin notes? He'd written prophetic beside that passage. Mark was terrified from the moment he set foot on French soil. Something else I never told you. He lived in terror. I treated it all as a game. Until Rouen. Mark was convinced that he would be taken and that he would talk. He should never have been sent to France.
That wasn't your fault. None of it was your fault. You were right. If you told me about Mark in 1944, I would never have married you. I would have reacted with high-minded revulsion. I don't know what I would have done if you told me later.
And now?
I've watched you going through the motions. I've heard you making the right noises. I was always aware that there was something. That, in a sense, you were living a kind of undercover life. Now I know why.
Where does that leave us?
Anywhere you want.
Ah, is this local?
Slightly farther afield. Gevrey Champetain.
Ah.
To celebrate your arrival.
I thought it seemed somewhat special.
So, how is Malcolm?
Last Tuesday was the hottest day for 10 years. The following Thursday was the wettest. Every day is the dullest since you two left. And when are you coming back?
We shall be over towards the end of September for a few days to tie up one or two loose ends.
You're definitely settling here.
We're settled.
Pure selfishness.
No news at all.
Ian has grown a beard and is cultivating an intellectual air. Bernard has been breathalyzed.
We're missing everything.
Oh, you remember that policeman in charge of the Muller business?
Chief Inspector Gardner.
Mr. Gardner now. Came across him at the golf club last week.
Still asking questions?
No. He's retired and moved to Melscombe. He sends his regards to both of you.
That's nice. Shall we go inside for coffee? It's turning cool.
wish one could know that I wish there were tokens to tell the fortunate fellows that now you can never discern. And then one could talk with them friendly and wish them farewell and watch them depart on the way that they will not return. But now you may stare as you like, and there's nothing to scan, and thrusting your elbow and guess that and not to be told. They carry back pride to the coin of a vintage of man, the land that will die in their glory and never be
in The Trade of Man by T.D. Webster. Nigel Davenport was Peter Sheridan and Isabel Dean, Gwen. John Rowe was David. Geoffrey Collins, Ian. Carol Boyd, Rachel and Miss Reynolds. And George Pravda, Kurt Muller. Chief Inspector Gardner was played by Geoffrey Matthews. Inspector Frith, Graham Padden. And Janice Pierce, Natasha Pine. Inspector Hafler and Bernard were played by Crawford Logan. The Trade of Man was directed in our Birmingham studios by Peter Windows.